into it.
Let's do it.
And I have your microphones on.
Perfect.
I have Connor and Maxwell from a wonderful band I love playing on our show, Soundcheck, Moby Rich.
What's up, man?
Hello, hello.
Welcome to the show. We've been playing, obviously, we started with Yoko Ono back in 2018. This year, two of my favorite songs, actually, of the year, Sabotage and the latest one, Loser. And we've been playing your Lizzo cover,
Hell Hurts as well.
So.
We didn't know what to expect with that one. So like the fact that you guys are giving us love on that has been pretty amazing.
Been pretty cool.
Is that one you've been busting out live?
Oh yeah.
That has been our key to every audience. Like it opens the door. Everyone's like, you know, like you get into, as an opener, it's your job to get everybody excited for the headliner. So we get out there, we play, you know, a few songs, and then we pull out this cover, and then immediately it goes from like 0 to 100, like immediately, because everybody knows the song. Yeah. You got everybody in the audience screaming at the top of their lungs, and it's fun. Is like Maxwell always makes the joke afterwards. He's like, "All right, guys, now we're gonna go back to playing our music." So, yeah. But I feel like it really wins some people over, and it's been huge, and it's just a testament to how amazing that song is.
Yeah, and you guys are, you know, warming up the crowd now for Matt Mason. You're playing tonight at the Fillmore, which is a beautiful, historic. It's always considered one of like the top five venues in America. So. It's gonna be a very fun show. And how has this tour been so far with Matt?
This tour has been amazing, man. Like, it's our first actual U.S. tour. Like, we've kind of had a weird start because we went straight to touring in Europe, mm-hmm. like for our first run,
and then we went to a few shows over there.
And then we did Australia, and we did a little, like, we actually played in San Francisco in March
with Shade.
Pop Scene with Shade, and then so this is like our first run through Middle America, through the East Coast, and it's been like just a lot of fun, man. Just like meeting people that have been listening to the music but haven't like gotten a chance to see us live. All that has been pretty amazing. I mean, it still blows our minds each night, like being an opener, being like very early days in our career, mm-hmm. and having people like know the words and like know either Yoko Ono or Loser or Sabotage or any of the other songs we put out. It's just like, you just are staring out and you're like, what?
Yeah, every night we get there, we start singing the songs, and I always look around and I'll find like one person like singing every word like at the top of their lungs, and it makes me so excited.
Yeah, and it's your first time in a lot of these cities.
Right? Yeah.
That's the thing, man. It legitimately blows our minds. Like when we meet people and they're like, "I can't believe I'm meeting you." It's like, what?
Like,
what are you talking about?
I made that song in my bedroom. Yeah. Like, what? Like, we're pretty much the same person.
Yeah. Legitimately, like, when I go back to LA, me and you are going to live like the same lives, you know? So it's been cool, man.
It's been amazing, like going from, you know, playing, we both started playing music in like middle school, and like the dream obviously is always to, you know, get as big and go as far as you can, and like the fact that we're now like finally really touring, mm-hmm. like doing the touring that you always dreamed of, like being in the van, driving around the country, getting to see all these places, trying food that may or may not upset your stomach, you don't know. It's a gamble, you know. Yeah. But it's fun, and it's pretty amazing.
Now, you're friends with Matt Mason before mm-hmm. this tour happened, right?
Yeah.
So bands moved to LA a lot. Are you guys from LA? Did you move out to LA?
Yeah, so I'm from Indianapolis. And he's from Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
We both moved out to LA probably like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
He moved out because he got a publishing deal. I moved out because I hated Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
I still love you, Indiana.
It's pretty much the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And we met at an open mic in like Studio City in the Valley. And we just kind of heard each other sing. He was kind of like getting burnt out writing for other people, so he was like, "Do you want to start a band?" I was working at California Pizza Kitchen, so I was like, "I don't know, man."
CBK,
repping.
Shout out if you guys want to give us an endorsement, we are in for that.
I legitimately, my favorite pizza in the world is from CBK.
Okay,
you know, so
he's a company man.
Yeah, bro, you gotta rep it. So we just started writing, and then like, but we like were fortunate enough to like, you move to LA, right, and you to have the things that you move there for like actually start to come to fruition is kind of like a weird thing. You're kind of like very cautiously optimistic when things starts to go, because you're like, is it actually happening, or is it gonna burn out real quick?
Mm-hmm. It's pretty wild because you go to LA and at first you're like, because usually you're coming from a town or a city where maybe you are one of the bigger fish in that pond or whatever, or at least you feel like you're something special, right? Mm-hmm. And then you come to LA where everybody's special, and then you're like, oh wow, I'm not that special. Like everybody's got this thing, and then you realize like, oh wow, there's a lot of things I could be doing way better, yeah. Which I think for Maxwell and I like helps a lot. One of the best things about being in a band or being in a duo is like the fact that we keep each other on our toes. It's like we lived with each other for a while, and like that was pretty awesome because every day we could wake up and we'd be like, hey, let's write a song, let's mm-hmm. do this. And it really worked to our benefit, yeah. Because now we have like literally hundreds and hundreds of songs that we can go through and pick out, and
90% of them are really bad, but yeah, like, yeah. In there's some gems, you know.
Hey, we're waiting on that debut album.
Yeah.
I honestly, that would be amazing. I like
it's kind of weird though, like the day that we live in right now, like the age that we live in, where albums for like new and upcoming mm-hmm. bands are kind of just like a non-starter until you get to a point where you have like a fan base yeah. that is actually gonna be able to digest that. You know, we still feel like we're very much in a place where to put an album out right now would almost be like not productive enough, you know. It's like we just want to keep growing the fan base, mm-hmm. we want to keep releasing music and get to a point where like when we put out an album, we put out a statement of like that, then we have a real fan base to digest it and to grow with it.
And also like we're still growing as a band, mm-hmm. like yeah. this is so new. We just put Yoko out in September of last year, year, and it's crazy. That's like about to hit 3 million plays,
yeah.
with the help of you guys and some amazing syncs that we've been getting, and it's just
wild. In Atypical, right?
Yeah.
That was pretty wild, man. Like, I mean, we are friends with Fievel Stewart, the actor that's in mm-hmm. it, and she hit me up and was like, hey, I'm gonna pitch the song for the TV show. And I was like, cool. Yep.
Apparently she was playing it like while they were filming it.
Yeah.
And I guess the executive producer, she pitched it to the executive producer, and everyone was into it, and they're like, yeah, let's do it.
But it's cool too, because like, you know, when we wrote that song, we wrote it about just finding someone that kind of like matches your strange, mm-hmm. your weirdness.
Yeah.
And you know, we had our own version of that, and then to have it be in a show and have like the LGBTQ community that be like that's a part of that show, and that, you know, kind of roots for that whole relationship between those two characters, kind of like make it the anthem for that mm-hmm. show, is so cool for us, because it turns it into a new song.
There's a new meaning. It's like the second the song becomes bigger than just being a song, it's pretty amazing. Like it's wild to us, because obviously this is the first time that's ever happened for us, and I love the fact that it can be something for somebody else, because mm-hmm. obviously for Maxwell and I it was just a simple kind of love story about finding someone that kind of matches your personality or whatever you need in your life, right? And the fact that it connected with so many people, and it made that scene like hit that much harder. Like it's beautiful.
Yeah,
and like
pretty wild.
Just happy to be a part of that. And even, you know, I've made that connection.
Yeah. You guys do have this mutual weirdness that you get to share.
Yeah.
Doing it in Australia and Europe, and now, you know, through Middle America, when you're spending so much time together, especially like on the road, is there like a go-to you guys have to pass that time? Like, what makes it easier getting from city to city?
We joke a lot.
Yeah, we joke a lot.
A lot of jokes.
Also, because we've lived together, we've toured together, we spend most of our time together, we also know like very well when to just like give like, each other
move
a
apart.
Space,
it's like if you're in a relationship with anyone for a long period of time, like whether it's just a friendship or like, you know, a relationship mm-hmm. relationship, it's like you start to learn each other's quirks and the things that like what each other needs, mm-hmm. right? And we've been again really fortunate to like have known each other again for almost, you know, four or five years, yeah. And yeah, we just feel really lucky that and Maxwell I feel like is super super mature, and I am not, so I just try to do what he does. That's good. I feel like we're just really good at communicating, and I feel really lucky to be in a duo with him, you know.
What's the spot you see when you see the road sign? Like, you're like, oh, okay, we got to stop there. Is there one of those places?
Definitely not for me. What do you mean?
Like, I don't know. I was like, if, for instance, maybe if I saw a Starbucks sign like at 9 p.m. at night in Texas. Okay, let's stop there. Yeah, or there's this spot called Bucky's.
Definitely, like, Starbucks has been
and Whole Foods has been a big thing for us. Like hitting the Whole Foods in the morning and getting like a green juice,
mm-hmm. yeah,
and like a real meal in the morning because they do those, like, you know,
they got the hot bar.
Yeah,
and stuff.
It's great, man. I mean, like, for me, I've been gluten free like my whole entire mm-hmm. life for the most part. So being on the road is tricky when you're just like driving on the highway and yeah. you stop at a gas station. It's like all you've got is.
Especially
Subway
in the middle of nowhere.
And Chester's Chicken, apparently.
Oh, God.
That's a thing, apparently.
Sorry, so, Chester's.
Yeah, so I am very appreciative of the Whole Foods.
Are you celiac or by choice?
No, I just, like, I was allergic to it as a kid.
He's
I went
intolerant.
And got tested. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't even know, honestly, man. I just know that it makes me feel bad.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it has some reactions.
That's me with lactose.
Yeah.
Like, or, yeah, just dairy. Like,
and it's been such a part of my life now that, like, mm-hmm. imagining to go like the other way is just kind of like why do it.
Ferry yeah. Building, which is a 10-minute walk or so from here,
yeah,
a spot called Mariposa Bakery, gluten-free bakery.
Oh,
highly recommended.
Mariposa.
Mm-hmm.
Mariposa
Bakery.
Mariposa,
yeah,
which is butterfly in Spanish, right?
Oh,
see, that's exactly why it's on the logo, and I did not know that. I just clicked.
Bada boom.
Thank you.
Nice, bro.
Yeah, we're learning.
I know that because I learned a song by Maná called Mariposa Traicionera.
Is that how it's pronounced?
Yeah, Mariposa.
Well, Maná.
Maná, yeah.
See, I've always said Maná. It's just like a...
Which is like, they're like the Metallica of...
Yeah, they play they play three nights, like the biggest arena in San Jose.
They're,
where we're doing our big
they're
winter
crazy
show.
I'll be honest, I've never heard of them.
Oh, dude, you gotta check them out. You have to check them out.
Yeah.
Like, it's really good.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
My first show ever was Metallica, so...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You share that.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was third row. I mean, I was such a big fan of them when I first started playing guitar, and still am, but like, I remember just being there and just watching them, and just, they're so good. And just being like...
It's such an epic first concert.
Oh my God. When my parents took me, and I was just like, my mind got blown to a level I didn't realize was possible, just Man. Watching them just go so hard.
Yeah. My first concert was Good Charlotte
okay.
and NoFX. So it's
nice.
Very punk rock.
Yeah.
So like, I always wanted to be in like a rock band mm-hmm. like that. So like now that I am, I feel like in kind of a rock band, it feels pretty cool. Like for a long time, Maxwell and I were in like just doing like the acoustic solo thing for mm-hmm. a long time. So it's like, it's pretty sick to be able to like run around and jump around and play
yeah.
solos and instead of just like, all right, this next one's called Wonderwall. Hope you like it.
Which is actually so funny because every show Matt will make a joke about like right before he like plays Cringe.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be like, this is like Wonderwall, and like no one ever gets the joke.
No, yeah,
like,
no one ever really laughs. Like, they're all kind of like half expecting it to happen.
I just always like, I'm like, how is no one getting this joke? But he kills it.
But we die laughing.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. that's really all that matters.
Yeah.
That's good. Every night.
Yeah,
gets
man.
You. Well, thank you guys for being here. So stoked to have you back in the
you.
City. Should be a wonderful show tonight at the Fillmore. Beautiful spot. If they have apples, eat them. If there's a poster tonight, take one because it'll say your name on it.
Hell yeah.
They do custom posters for most shows there.
Really?
So, yeah.
Wait, what about the apples?
They often have apples when you walk in, just available.
Just out there?
Are they like really good apples?
Are they like
They're
local?
Pretty decent.
Yeah.
They're pretty decent apples. Beautiful chandeliers. If you go upstairs, there's like this DJ room with like all the posters from like all the shows they've ever had. So, it's a wonderful little spot.
Question, what are some of like the most iconic people that have played there?
Oh, man.
I was going to look it up. I didn't
like,
have time.
Like Bob Dylan, Grateful Dead.
Whoa.
Like, and then it closed for a long time and they remodeled it, reopened again in like the 90s. But Carlos Santana, I think Metallica's probably played there.
Yeah.
Linkin Park's first show, one of their first headlining shows was there.
Really?
That's amazing.
Yeah, they have a DVD.
Man, they went all the way to the Fillmore for their first headlining show.
Yeah, I know. They're from Phoenix, but like their first live DVD was shot at
okay.
the Fillmore. So, yeah, just like every year.
So it's huge. That's wild.
Yeah, everybody who's anybody at some point has come through the Fillmore.
That's amazing.
You'll look at the posters. They have them hanging up in Chase Center, the new giant arena here that the Warriors play in.
Yeah.
And there's Fillmore posters everywhere. So Green Day's been there several times, and it's just a dope spot.
So
yeah.
stoked.
Well,
man.
We're excited to, you know, be a part of that now. Like, you can't take
history.
That away from
nah,
us, okay?
Man, we've done it, you know?
We're going to do it. Thank you, and thank you
absolutely.
To,
thank
to
you,
all
Connor. Thank
for
you,
having us.
Maxwell, for being here today.
Absolutely, man.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
No worries.